Welcome to Office Hours with Adam Peterson, where I talk to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts to find answers to those day-to-day questions about life and work in Luxembourg. If you have questions you'd like answered, let me know at adam.peterson@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to today's show. As we approach the end of the year, many people think of new beginnings, and for some, that may mean a new job or career. So if you're staring out of the window of the office listening to this, you may be wondering whether recruitment consultants can help. But who are they? How do they work? And who are they consulting for? The recruiter or the recruitee? So to help me answer these questions and more, I have two guests. I have Amandine Bianchi from LHH.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome, and Darren Robinson from Anderson Wise.
Good morning.
So let's start with Amandine. So Amandine, how long have you been a recruiter? Have you always been a recruiter?
Always, yes. I have 12 years of experience within the staffing industry in Luxembourg. I spent a decade working within a global recruitment, permanent recruitment and executive search firm across finance, IT and legal sectors in Luxembourg. I had the privilege of leading the operations in Luxembourg, and in 2023, I transitioned to LHH as an executive director for better understanding about the temporary work and consultancy market.
So tell me a little bit more about LHH, because that's part of a global brand.
Yeah, indeed.
So tell me about that relationship and who ultimately owns LHH.
LHH is part of the Adecco Group, the world's leading HR solutions firm. It's an international talent management provider that emerged in Luxembourg in May 2023 from the merger of two reputable brands, Bannock & Clark and Spring Professional. Yeah. It is a full range services HR talent management solutions, meaning that we offering consultancy, temporary work, recruitment, permanent recruitment, executive search, coaching, assessment.
So to put that into languages I'll understand, so full range services. So you show up in Luxembourg as Adecco. I think you have offices for Adecco. Then you have your office, which is LHH. Yeah. Which people, what sort of type of roles are available at Adecco versus LHH?
Let's say that LHH will be much more focused on recruiting white collar people. Okay. Whereas Adecco still really dedicated to recruit blue collar individuals.
So now having met Amandine, to move to Darren. Now everyone I meet in Luxembourg seems to know who you are, because not only do you run Anderson Wise, you're also on the British Chamber of Commerce board. You're also the chairman of the British Luxembourg Society, I think.
Yeah, let's not forget also the founding member of the Luxembourg United Kingdom Business Club. So yeah, a lot of British associations.
Pretty much. And the interesting one, when we met and you introduced yourself to me, you didn't introduce yourself as a recruiter. You introduced yourself as a headhunter. So what's a headhunter and what's the difference between a headhunter and a recruitment consultant?
Yeah, I suppose the headhunter is there to search for individuals, and actually, rather than advertise for roles, we're looking for candidates that wouldn't necessarily apply to an advertisement. So those people, what we call passive candidates, they're not actually actively searching for roles, but we want to tap them on the shoulder and ask them whether they'd be interested in certain opportunities. So that's the difference. We're approaching them rather than them approaching us.
So they're really busy in their day job. They're busy. They don't have time. They may be super successful. They may be actually enjoy their job. And for those reasons, they're not looking to move. But actually out there, there may be a better job for them.
Yeah. And in fact, it's, you know, any call that we make, there's always another opportunity. But these people are usually the people aren't looking at all. They haven't even thought about looking until we manage to speak to them.
Now, my understanding is that you used to work for a global chain, actually the predecessor of LHH, effectively. So when you left that chain, why did you choose to set up one yourself and not join another global chain? What's the advantages of being smaller?
I think the overall reason for setting up on my own was I didn't want to work for anybody again. Now, of course, being a recruiter, recognizing that you can have great leaders and not so great leaders. And I was in that position where I've had great leaders and not so great leaders. So I thought, right, it might be time to do something myself and just be hopefully that great leader for the people that work for me.
And how's that working out for you? Are you a great leader? Are you a great leader of yourself?
A great leader of myself, for sure. I think you would have to speak to the team to see whether I'm a great leader of them.
Okay. And for Amandine, kind of the reverse for that question. So why did you choose to go and work for a global firm and not go and set up yourself and be your own great leader for yourself?
Yeah, let's say that I was really specialized myself in also headhunting people, and I wanted to do something different. I wanted to get to know more about the market in Luxembourg and also to get to know more about temporary work, about interim consulting, freelancing as well. Also managing a bigger team. I had the opportunity when joining LHH to manage to accompany a dozen people team, and it makes for me a big difference. So there was more personal career choice for me to really have an access to a different career path. So yeah.
And I was nosing around the website actually, and I had some stuff on there like advice on how to write a CV. Yeah. On one level I thought, oh, that's quite good, and I had a look, and it was pretty good advice. At the same time, I think I checked out who wrote it, and it was a bloke in America, effectively, that written it. So it didn't feel as though it was tailored to the Luxembourg context exactly. And I don't know if there's a view on whether you should you have photos on CVs. I think in America they generally don't. In the UK we don't, but in Europe we seem to a bit more. So do you find that useful, that content from head office?
I think on a more general way, yes, because the people will go directly to the website, but to have more tailor-made advice, tips and advice, that would be better, as Darren say a bit before, to really properly connect with the recruitment consultant in charge. So then depending on the profile, depending on the sector, the CV will be different, the pitch will be different, and the advice also will be very adapted to the person and to the career path of this person.
And I've just actually dropped a quick fire question in there. So photos on CVs, yes or no?
No.
Really?
Really?
No.
Okay. No. Ah. Okay. Why?
There's an opportunity to discriminate.
Okay, we're going to get in. This is one of the questions I'll probably come back to later. So I always had that view, and I said, I'm not going to put my photo on there because, you know, I'm a white male and I don't think that's relevant. I was listening to something recently and they were suggesting that you shouldn't have the awarding university, because people from Oxford and Cambridge get a leg up, but then cards on the table, someone who went to Oxford and Cambridge, I think that my Oxford and Cambridge degrees are probably worth a little bit more than some from institutions that aren't as salubrious. So what's your view on that?
Yeah, I think education is certainly something we should be putting on CVs.
But not photos. Amandine?
I do agree, no photo. Education is still very important, of course. It's part of the career path and educational background of the candidate, so it's really important. But pictures, photo, maybe no, for discrimination reason. I do agree on this.
Yeah. And maybe even one day we won't have names on the CV, because that, again, can trigger some bias.
Yeah, I keep getting job offers from Danish people, even though I've never been to Denmark with my name Peterson.
Exactly.
Great. Now, that's got into something quite interesting and true there. So let's just take one little step back, though. So understanding your companies, it seems as though there is some differences and some overlap. So we touched a little bit on blue collar is Adecco. So in the white collar world, passive, kind of active, you going out and looking for headhunting versus people coming to you. What's your advice to people out there? Who should expect to be headhunted and who should need to go out and look for roles themselves?
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody should be expected to headhunt it. If you're looking for opportunities, you should contact a recruitment firm. Don't expect to receive the call. So I would certainly be recommending to make a connection.
Okay.
Yeah. It will also depend on the type of job you're looking for, whether you're a temporary work person looking for an interim contract, looking for a consultancy contract, then you might have a more proactive job search. Whether if you're a permanent employee, maybe you're not looking specifically for a job, so you're not expecting the call. So it will also depend on the type of job you're looking for.
And LHH do both permanent and
permanent temporary work, interim, okay, consultancy and freelancing as well.
We only permanent work.
Just permanent Anderson Wise. Wise. Okay, so there's a little, you do compete a little bit in the market, but you also have areas you're slightly separate.
That's correct.
As you look across the table at each other. one thing that I kind of touched on before was who you act on behalf of. I was talking to an MBA candidate, a full-time MBA candidate recently, and they were talking about how they're going to get a job after their MBA. And I said to them, oh, what about recruitment consultants? And their response back to me was, why would I give 5% of my salary for someone to give me a job advert I could apply for? Now, my view or understanding was that you are acting on behalf of the company, the recruiter, and would not be taking your fee from the recruitee. So me and this gentleman had a completely different prejudice. So who are you acting on behalf of, and how do you get the fruits of your labours in cash terms?
Yeah, well, it is the company that does pay us at the end of the day, not the candidate. And in fact, it's illegal in most countries to charge both the candidate and the client. So, you know, people need to be mindful of that. But we certainly would not charge a candidate. Maybe he may have got mixed up with having services from a career coach that wouldn't necessarily charge a percentage of their salary, but would certainly charge for advice.
And the kind of relationship you have with companies, is it the same? Is it a flat fee, or is it a percentage of this? You're charging the company, but do you charge them a percentage of the salary of the person going in? Are there different models there? Different ways of
constructing? We're charging the compensation package of the company. We're not charging at all the candidate. And again, I can tell that. That's, again, kind of a tailor-made solutions, talking about the pricing in Luxembourg, depending on the type of profile we're looking for, whether this is into the interim world, we're talking about a coefficient, as an example, into the recruitment, permanent recruitment, we were talking about the fee percentage, and into the consultancy, we're talking about the rate. So that's always different, talking about one services, one solutions than another's. Also, what will make the difference is the client commitment, whether the client is opting for, let's say, an acceptance fee, trying to really engage strongly into the relationship with LHH. It will potentially make a difference on the fee percentage and on the pricing as well. In today's market, the most important is really to get the client's commitment, to be sure that we're not wasting a time as well.
Thank you. Now, I've not had a great track record with recruitment consultants. I've been in contact with lots, and only once ever did they set me up on the interview, and that was when I was working in Aberdeen, and the interview was in Vienna. So it was a match kind of across Europe. What geographical matches are you making? Are you working for people who are currently in Luxembourg, giving them opportunities outside, or are you trying to bring people into Luxembourg, or is it people that are already here?
For us at LHH, again, depending on the type of profile we're searching for, whether this is an interim, a consulting, a permanent recruitment candidate, most of the time we're searching jobs for them locally in Luxembourg. We're part of Luxembourg for 30 years now as a group, but we still do benefit from the synergies from the group as we're an international company. We're also covering 66 plus countries over the world. So if a candidate has the willingness to apply to another country, that's also possible. But we mainly focus on the Luxembourgish market.
So there's a mechanism through LHH for you to get access to a different candidate in a different country.
Yeah.
And then how does that work for, because Anderson Wise, you don't have the footprint in other countries. So what's your focus?
Yeah, well, we do have some partnerships in different countries, so we can get access. But to be honest, most of the organisations we recruit for are in Luxembourg. And they are looking for people that are already in Luxembourg. And that's usually because some of the profiles we're looking for example, in the regulatory space, require a relationship with the local regulator. So they already need experience. And when companies are coming to a recruiter, it's usually because they need somebody quite urgently. And rather than look internationally for somebody, they are looking for somebody that can, you know, hit the ground running immediately. They are here. We don't have to worry about integration. We don't have to worry about schooling, housing. They're already working and usually living either in Luxembourg or the Frontaliers.
Thank you. So now we've worked out how the recruitment consultants work, we'll take a quick break, and in part two we'll get a few more of the Chewier questions. Hi Adam, happy Wednesday. I hope this message finds you well. I wanted to follow up my recent message as I believe there are some senior level roles that could align well with your career and experience trajectory. A strange message I received this very morning from a recruitment consultant. It's not Wednesday, I've never received a previous message, and I'm not needing a senior role. I'm probably the most junior of Today Radio's presenters. In part one, we looked at how recruitment consultants work. In part two, I want to get into some of the chewier questions. Now, the email I just shared is an example of how the industry has changed. In a world of LinkedIn and bot farms sending out messages like those ones, what's the future for recruitment consultants, and is there a future? Particularly as one of your competitors, I think, has just shut their local office and they're going to be supporting Luxembourg from Brussels.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's worth putting into context where the market is right now for the recruitment industry and industry in general. Let's face it, it is quite depressed at the moment. The conditions, you know, we probably want to look back to 2022. You know, I've been in the industry 28 years, and that was the best conditions in the recruitment industry ever.
Coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then people need to move, the economy growing again.
Exactly that. And in January 2023, the brakes really went on. And it's been a slow recovery. So it's not surprising that, you know, firms have reduced their staff and some firms, you know, left the country.
And that's driven more, I guess, from the company perspective. They aren't posting the new roles. They're not growing. And because they're not growing, then they don't need the candidates. Is that the right conclusion?
Yeah, I mean, we went through 2022 with a lot of growth. And 2023 and most of 2024 now has been a lot of change. So there's still business, but not necessarily the growth that we would want.
Yeah, and Amandine, have you seen the same? Because one of the phenomena of the pandemic was the great resignation. So was one of the things that drove a good year in 2022 all the people deciding not to go back to work after the pandemic, and which opened up some senior roles?
2022 was definitely a better year than 2023 and 2024. Employment growth has slowed dramatically, and an annual increase of just 0.8% in June, the lowest rate since the 2009 and 2010, since the financial crisis. For us, permanent recruitment has an impact, is impacted today, and our permanent recruitment is -20% comparing to 2023. I can say that fortunately, as I said a bit before, we do have this opportunity to also serve our clients and candidates with temporary work, recruitment, consultancy, freelancing, and also most important, as we could say that the market is not doing well today, we also accompany quite a lot of companies and employees in those during this transition period, helping them to leave companies. As we were talking about outplacement, this is something we do more and more in Luxembourg, assessment and coaching. So we can say that permanent recruitment is not doing good. Fortunately, we can still help people in our business model today transitioning and supporting them in their career.
So if people, if permanent struggling a bit, I guess, Darren, the quality of your team becomes really important then that you have.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, you know, I mentioned about setting up, you know, myself. I wouldn't have been able to do this without a really strong team. And, you know, I sometimes say between us, we've got, you know, 200 years worth of recruitment experience. Of course, I represent 28 years of that. But most of my team have been in Luxembourg recruiting for quite a long time. So, you know, we're talking 10 to 20 years each. And that really helps. So, you know, they already have good, strong connections on the ground with both candidates and clients.
So as things pick up, I mean, you've stayed and there's been some consolidation in the industry with LHH. So LHH was formed by two other brands that have come together. So there's been consolidation. Other people have left. So as the economy picks up, you'll be in a good position, won't you?
The answer to that is yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, fingers crossed
we're getting ready for this.
We're ready, aren't we, Amandine?
Yes, we're ready.
We're ready.
I might not get, in the future you might be so busy you won't have time to come on my radio show in the future, so we'll see. We're getting closer, running out of time. So as we get there to the end, is there any one piece of advice you'd give someone out there who's thinking about moving roles?
Yeah, the one thing that I do find when somebody is making that decision to move is they start looking not only for access to recruitment firms, but also just their network in general. And of course, we have an online network and we have an offline network, and tools like LinkedIn really do help to profile yourself, and you can connect to so many individuals and exchange on that platform. But there's also in Luxembourg, there's just such a unique opportunity to network physically, you know, face to face. And there's so many senior people that are decision makers that you can get in front of at a lot of events. So my recommendation is, you know, really think about your network, both online and offline, and make an effort to build that before you need it, not when you need it. Because, you know, I use this mantra that, you know, it's not what you know, it's not who you know, it's who knows you.
Yeah, and I guess that's where you can bring some value. As I said at the start of the show, like, everyone in Luxembourg seems to know who you are, so you provide that opportunity for people to make those connections. You go out, look for good people and make those connections. Amandine, what would you recommend people, and particularly in a world where people may think that, oh, with LinkedIn, they don't need a recruitment consultant, they can do it all themselves?
As Darren said before, and I do share the same point as him, it's really about connection, human to human interaction. So don't wait before you identify the need of potentially leaving your current employer, but really try to anticipate. Be cautious as well of job hopping. Don't jump from one job to another one, and take into consideration all the aspects like your current professional situation, the sector as a whole picture. That's also really important.
There's a phrase in English, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. I don't have the same phrase in French.
Of course. And also try to think about a potential counter offer. And did you, as a candidate, as an employee, really address all the points why you would like to leave your current employer? So be careful and think carefully before making the decision, in particular in this today's market.
That's great. And I love the you mentioned about it being about connection. So we've not met, the three of us together, before, and this is the first time we've met ever, Amandine.
Yeah.
But before coming on air, we've been having a good laugh and a joke and making good connections. So if you want people to make connections for you into the Luxembourg job market, these are two people that can help. So Amandine, if people want to get in contact with you, how do they do so?
Oh, they can directly go into our LHH internet on lhh.com. and they can directly apply, or they can reach out to me on my email address, amended.bianchi, B-I-A-N-C-H-I, at lhh.com.
And Darren, the same question. If there is someone in Luxembourg who doesn't know you and doesn't have you in their contacts at the moment, how would they add you to those contacts?
They'd certainly discover me on LinkedIn. But also, absolutely the same. You'll be able to find myself and all my team and their direct emails on andersonwise.com. And also mine's quite easy to remember, which is darren.robinson@andersonwise.com.
Perfect. Thank you both very much. So that's it for today's episode. If you have feedback and questions on this topic or any other, drop me a line at adam.peterson@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn.